Threat Film Radio. One World International Human Rights Documentary Film Festival in Prague, Czech Republic.
Threat Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 One World International Human Rights Documentary Film Festival. I'm very pleased to be joined by Kate Brooks, director of The Last Animals. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, it's a pleasure.
So would you like to introduce your documentary a little bit before we start, just to start us off?
Sure. The Last Animals is a film about the plight of the northern white rhinos. When I started filming, there were 7 left on the planet. Today there are 3, and the last male is ailing and won't be much longer on the planet. But it's set on a global stage in the midst of a global wildlife trafficking crisis. Over the past 10 years, you've had over 150,000 elephants that have been killed. So you're watching what's happening with the northern whites in the midst of the mass massacre of elephants. I mean, those are the issues at hand. But the film itself is really about the people, the scientists, the activists, the rangers who are putting everything into trying to save these animals.
Right. When did you start filming it?
I started filming it in 2013.
Oh, so was it a case that the more you kept filming, the more you found out about, you know, things and how serious things are?
No, I went into it knowing what was happening, but it's a unscripted documentary, so we basically followed various story threads and then interweave them throughout the movie, and it just, you know, a matter of kind of finding the natural moment to end the story.
And in different parts of the world.
So we filmed extensively in Africa, Kenya and DRC in particular, a number of Asian countries. One of our main protagonists was from Seattle. And we also did a number of shoots in the Czech Republic because one of the last northern white rhinos lived here. And the remaining 3 northern white rhinos are only on the planet because of the Czech Republic. With the northern whites in particular, you have a number of different scientists who have been working on... They're doing a few different things. They have a number of frozen specimens, and so there's the possibility of using stem cells to save the northern whites. And they're also working on a surrogacy program whereby they hope to create a northern white rhino embryo in a laboratory and use a southern white rhino as a surrogate to create the births of more northern whites. The scientists feel quite confident, and I think they will. I think they will achieve their goals. I don't think, but nobody's quite sure how long it'll take, and I think until it happens, it's also not certain. But I think there's, you know, the story of the northern whites is really a foreboding story of what happens when too little is done too late, and that, in my mind, the question isn't so much about whether or not the northern whites can be brought back through scientific intervention, but more what kind of planet are we bringing them back to.
How did you get interested?
So my background was in war photography, and I worked for many years in the Middle East and Afghanistan, and in 2010 I was in Afghanistan on a military embed. I was embedded with a medevac unit, and I was photographing double and triple amputees every day. It was very intense. I'd covered conflict for a long time, but I found the whole thing sort of incredibly disturbing. And right after that assignment, I went to Kenya for the first time. I had a friend who was living there, and she took me to the Masai Mara, and I was there sort of looking through some binoculars, thinking about the soldiers, thinking about one in particular who had survived but had lost 3 limbs, and a herd of elephants walked through my line of sight. And it was just this reminder that in spite of all the human destruction on the planet, there's still some natural order. And that really led me to want to work on environmental issues. Fast forward a few years later, I was a fellow at the University of Michigan, and I began researching the poaching crisis. I felt very strongly that this issue needed to be told as a film rather than in stills, because I didn't think that still photography could do the issue justice.
Why not? What does the movement in the images add?
You know, there's the movement in motion picture, but it's also the story arcs of the storylines And it's complicated. Do you need to hear people's voices and the sound and the movement? And I suppose you could do a series of photographs with extended captions, but I think with the beauty and magic of filmmaking is being immersed into an experience and being able to go into a movie and learn something you might not otherwise really know anything about and come out after an hour and a half and actually have a real grasp of, one, what's happening, and also have it emotionally connected to the subject matter.
And also, when you attend festivals like these, there's an opportunity to like create dialogue around the movie as well.
Exactly.
Have you noticed a lot of interest, like after the screenings? Do people engage, you know, and want to find out more?
Well, we had our first screening in Prague a couple of nights ago, and the Q&A went on for an extended period of time, and actually the moderator ended it after half an hour, 45 minutes. But my experience has been that people have a lot of questions, are very engaged, and the film originally premiered at Tribeca Film Festival last April, and so it's been touring around the world ever since then. By June or late April, we're going to have screened at about 50 festivals on 5 continents. So just in the last couple of weeks, we've screened in Melbourne, Dubai. We currently have screenings in Cambodia. I'm going to D.C. in a couple of days for the D.C. Environmental Film Festival. So film's really getting out into the world, creating impact. And in all of these places, when there are screenings that I'm unable to attend, we typically try to find somebody who can stand in and use the Q&A time as a way to discuss what's happening on a local or regional level. So that's what we're in. That's what's happening in Cambodia. And in Melbourne, somebody from the Jane Goodall Institute stood in, and so, yeah.
Great. Is there, so after watching the movie, is there any way in which people can find out more and maybe get more actively involved in this issue?
You know, we are fairly active on Twitter and Instagram, and then we have our website. There's a sort of get involved section. So under there, currently there's a Hong Kong section, a UK section, and an EU section. Hong Kong recently, just as of 6 weeks ago, passed an ivory ban, which was really exciting. We did a lot of screenings there in September and December. And bans are currently pending in the EU and in the UK. Both the EU and the UK had consultation periods where citizens could write in and express their feelings and opinions about bans, and that's now over, but rulings and new laws have not come out yet. So I think it's still really important for people in Europe to take the time to express their views. And interestingly, Canada, there's a petition going on right now for Canada to implement a ban, and a ban is pending, or talks around a ban are pending in Australia as well. So another really simple way for people to get involved, to see the movie. There are a couple of songs that were originally composed by hip-hop star Emmanuel Jal that are now released on Spotify and iTunes. One's called The Last Animals, and the other one's called Hold My Soul. And the proceeds from those song sales are going to set up educational scholarships for children of fallen rangers. So, you know, for a couple dollars, you can have a great song and contribute to helping children whose parents are sacrificed their lives to be environmental heroes.
There you go. They actually do sacrifice their lives.
Over 1,000 rangers have been killed in the last 10 years. So rangers working in Africa, not just in Africa, but the film focuses on Africa, and in particular Africa, do put their lives on the line all the time. And in the park where The Last Animals primarily focuses in Africa, there are numerous rebel groups, the Lord's Resistance Army operating in the park, and so it's deadly for, can be a deadly for rangers as well as elephants and other wildlife. And there's more militia in the park than there are giraffe, which says a lot.
All right, well, thank you very much once again. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.